Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
In 3, 2, 1, we're rolling.
Hey, Mike Kapler here with Joel Brzezinski, two peas in a podcast. See what I did there, Joel?
That's all I had to say about that.
Yeah, the Growing in Grace podcast. Welcome aboard. We're glad you're with us. Focusing on the finished work of Jesus and the gift of his grace, his love, his righteousness. It doesn't float around out there in cyberspace. It doesn't come and go. It doesn't disappear like a magician's trick, you know, trying to pull a rabbit out of the hat or any of that. It's just God did everything necessary to reconcile us to himself. Let's embrace it. Let's believe it. Let's learn about it, because this is just the beginning. We've got eternity to look forward to here. And we're just like in, what would this be, Joel, in a school setting? Is this like Gospel 101 for the rest of our lives? It sort of feels that way. I know we feel like we're learning a lot and we've graduated from this and moved on to that, but I think most of us in this life are just going to be in Gospel 101.
Well, I think compared to what there is to know in all of eternity, yeah, I think we're in Gospel 101, and it's a big class. I mean, there's a lot to learn, as you and I have found out in the last around 30 years that you and I have been talking about things like this, and then the last 20 plus years that we've been doing the podcast, always learning, always growing, and it's good. I mean, it's not like we're changing things drastically. It's just we're growing. It's not like, you know, well, we used to believe, like on our podcast, we used to teach this and now we're teaching something completely way different. No, it's just you'll see a growing process in us, all with the same basis of God's love and grace and kindness and goodness and what that means to us and the eternal life that we have as God's gift, not through anything that we've done. And I think you and I have also grown, as we've talked about in previous weeks, in being understanding of other people and the things that they believe. You and I were talking before we got on a little bit about this, and in the last few weeks, and I watched a video clip this morning. You know Shonda Pierce, the comedian?
Sure.
Yeah, my wife really liked her, and she's funny. I saw a more recent clip from her. she said, "What kind of church are we in?" She was like in a church doing a gig, and someone said it was a non-denominational. Oh, non-denominational. So I forgot what she said about that, but she goes, "I've been part of an interdenominational church for the last 30 years." And you see, what we do, we all come in and we fight it out. And then whoever wins, the sign goes up in front of the church that week.
So, that's funny.
It's like, well, all these different ideas, Joel, coming together.
You got to admit, she would not be as funny if she didn't have the Southern
accent. The accent is totally it. She reminds me of, she's a male Mark Lowry, because he's got that Southern accent. And they sound the same, and they're both getting up there in their years, and they both, it's almost like they're brother and sister. I know they're not, but they're both funny. And they both, I think they probably both would both have perhaps some legalistic aspects to them, but also I think they have a lot of grace. I think a lot of comedians, Christian comedians, have a lot of grace. I mean, if you have the ability to laugh, for one thing, Tim Hawkins, I was watching a lot of him lately, and mm-hmm. he's got a lot of good stuff. Just kind of some of the things that he makes fun of, and he makes fun of a lot of legalism, but he does it in a good way that, you know, it's not really gonna hurt people, but help people to laugh at it.
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully. I just think humor is such a gift from God.
Yeah,
being able to laugh I don't know if they're. I think there are parallels, at least, between joy, humor, and laughing. And maybe they're not all exactly the same thing, but I think that there is something to be said about having a merry heart and being able to laugh at ourselves sometimes. Don't you think that's kind of a big deal?
I like laughing at you, and I know that you like laughing at me.
Here, I'll tell you who doesn't like laughing at me. My family, my wife. I come up with some real zingers here while we're watching TV on the couch or something. And I told my wife, I'm not making this up. I told my wife the other day after I got a great one off. And she's like a mannequin, right? She will not give me the satisfaction of her thinking it was funny, whether she thought it was or not. I don't know why it evolved that way after all these years of marriage, but that's just my life. But I said, don't you sometimes just sit here and thank God that you have access to my quick wit and my sense of humor? She's like, yeah, right.
You're right. Well, it was a few weeks ago, we got this camera system set up on the outside of our house, and so it always notifies me if someone's out there. Well, my wife came home from work early. She told me she was going to do that, and I'd forgot. And so I'm sitting there in the break room with one of my coworkers, and I get a notification. Oh, my wife's home, and my coworker says, "Can you talk through that thing?" I said, "I think you can." And so she's out there, and I said, what do you say? So he told me, tell her, get back to work. You're just being silly. And so I pressed on the thing. I said, get back to work. And she's looking around like, what? Looking around, and she goes around the corner of the house, nobody there. And then she comes back, and I said, get back to work. And she says, you must not have anything better to do. She was being funny, but
Moses.
That's what I need to do next time.
You could have done all kinds of things there, acting like God.
Yeah, so we have fun. It's got to have fun.
Yeah. So, Joel, due to some things that have happened in the news, one thing that has come front and center in front of the world is the issue of forgiveness. And when we talk a lot about forgiveness here on our show, here on the podcast, done it for a long time over the last 20 plus years, but and a lot of times I'm guessing that it's usually more times than not, usually within the context of God forgiving us, also for us being able to forgive others. And I think we want to maybe try and take a fresh look at this today and try and put two and two together here on this subject of forgiveness, because it's one of those things. You know, if the gospel were like a pie, it sort of feels to me, from a human perspective anyway, that the forgiveness would have a decent percentage of a slice of that pie when it comes to our thinking with the gospel, the Bible, our thinking with God. Forgiveness is often a big issue, because many people walk around today as believers in Christ questioning where they stand with God, wondering if God has forgiven them or will forgive them again, things like that. And so let's take a look at this today.
Well, as long as pumpkin pie is included in that, then we can have forgiveness too.
Brother. Pumpkin pie?
Yeah. Well, actually, to tell the truth, it's more, you got to have whipped cream with a little bit of pumpkin pie.
This is like your tartar sauce on the fish.
That's right.
Leave the whipped cream off my pie.
Well, you got to have
my milkshake, by the way.
A little bit of fish with your tartar sauce and a little bit of pumpkin pie with your whipped cream, and then it's perfect.
I'll forgive you for even
Forgive me, please. But yeah, it's true. I think forgiveness is big. Like you say, with things that have gone on in the news, and I saw a post. I won't talk about the whole thing, but somebody had posted about how Tim Allen had struggled for years to forgive the person who
Tim Allen, the actor,
the comedian, the actor. And this boy, we're talking about comedy this week, but this was a serious one. And so he'd struggled, the person who had caused the death of his father, and he had struggled with forgiving that person. And it was through Erica Kirk, who had said she was forgiving of the person who killed her husband. And not to stick with that, but just there was a post on that. And the comments that came from that post is really what I wanted to talk about, in that there are so many different ideas and opinions and understandings of forgiveness. And it's just interesting to see throughout Christianity what people believe. Somebody commented, and this would probably be more along the line of what you and I would say. Somebody commented, if you are a Christian, you forgive because Christ has forgiven you. That's it, and that's all. If you find it difficult to forgive, just think about all the particular things that nobody else knows about that Christ forgave you of. The grace Jesus gave you, your heart will grow like the Grinch's, and you'll be able to give grace out of the grace you have received from the Lord. That's really what grace does. I think like Jesus said, he who is forgiven much loves much, and you forgive much. If you know that you've been forgiven, you're going to be able to forgive. And so a person struggling with forgiveness, and I'm not saying that this is something, like you were talking about, pulling a rabbit out of the hat. This isn't some magical formula. I'm not saying that this is easy. I'm not saying that it's just some formula, but just knowing the grace that we've received does and can really help us to give grace and forgiveness toward others. Somebody else said, forgiveness brings such freedom and peace in one's life. And then you have the other side of the spectrum. If you don't forgive and you're a Christian, you cannot pray the Lord's Prayer with sincerity. we've talked a lot about that here, and maybe we can touch on some of that too. And then somebody says, we're to forgive everyone, even if they don't ask for forgiveness. And he quotes Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So another legalistic look on that, not looking at the new covenant that we have, in which we have already received the forgiveness of God, not because we've forgiven others, but because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And I think that's the important thing here, that the forgiveness that we have in Christ, God's forgiveness, has not come because we've followed a formula, not because we've forgiven others, but because of the sacrifice of Christ. And so that's where God's forgiveness comes from.
Oh, boy. Well, to me, with what you just said there, I think the biggest takeaway from the words you just shared with us.
Yeah, I shared a bit is, there. Yeah.
And well, no, it's all good. Ephesians 4:32, and I realize, I want our listeners to realize that when we quote a Bible verse, don't be afraid to go back and check the context on it, check the verses and chapters before it, and the ones that are after it. But a lot of times we can make a point with a verse in the context of the new covenant. And Paul was encouraging the Ephesians, and the last verse in chapter 4 says this. He's encouraging them in a number of different ways leading up to this to apply Christ to their lives and be kind to one another. This is what he wraps up with in this so-called chapter. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So think about this for a minute, and then maybe we can touch on the Lord's Prayer, as it's called. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So this is interesting that Paul is laying a foundation here that says you are forgiven. In Christ, God forgave you through that work that Jesus finished. So who are we as people who needed forgiveness, didn't necessarily do anything to deserve forgiveness? Who are we to withhold that from someone else? You see, once the Holy Spirit begins to reveal this to us through His grace, through His love, and helps us to realize that forgiveness came not of any doing on our part, but because of what God did through Christ. Why would we withhold that from someone else? Why would we deserve it and they should not deserve it from us? Now, you might be thinking, well, God can forgive them, but I can't. Well, I would say that God has empowered us to be able to forgive as He has forgiven, okay? I don't want to do a whole thing here on what is referred to as the Lord's Prayer, Joel, but But on the subject of forgiveness, that is a decent slice of the Lord's Prayer pie. Within the prayer, forgiveness is a standout because it says this. But one thing I will mention before we try to make our point, one thing I will mention is that the Lord's Prayer, we've done podcasts on this. You can go to growingingrace.org and maybe do a search over there on the sidebar that has something to do with the Lord's Prayer. And also in my book, I've spent some time on this, but Clash of the Covenants. Give us this day our daily bread. This was an old covenant prayer meant for the people to whom he was speaking. The prayer was fulfilled. That's what I wanted to mention. Mm-hmm. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins, depending on what translation you read. Forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass against us, as we forgive our debtors. In other words, if this were to apply to us, it would require, mind you, that in order for us to be forgiven by God, we would be charged with forgiving others first. Mm-hmm. Do not lead us into temptation, deliver us from evil. And so the prayer comes to an end. But Jesus says this afterward. He says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. See, it's an old covenant inside-out thing going on here. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This does not apply to you. This was under the old covenant when Jesus spoke these things to his disciples. By the way, he wasn't talking to Pharisees here. He was talking to his disciples. You'll notice this going back to chapter 5, and the context continues here in Matthew chapter 6. But what did Jesus say in Matthew 6, 5? He said, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. So he's not talking to hypocrites. He's talking to his disciples. And he also tells them, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do or as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard by their many words. This was not a prayer meant for non-Jewish people. And it wasn't a prayer meant for Jewish people after the cross either. But I just wanted to touch on those things because I want to really stay focused here on the forgiveness factor. Paul said what he said in Ephesians 4:32 after the new covenant had been ratified, after the death of Jesus. Now, I know some people think that the new covenant began in 70 AD and the temple was destroyed. And if you want to think that, that's fine, except that all we really needed for a new covenant to take place was the death of the testator. And that occurred when Jesus died and rose again. He shed the blood. Now, it is true that the Jewish people maybe hadn't come to a realization of that. And so they were kind of in a transition period in that sense. But that doesn't change the spiritual reality of the new covenant beginning after the death and resurrection of Jesus. But if you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. Well, that's not going to bring any peace.
Right.
About that. I mean, you have to really examine your heart, and because it isn't just lip service Jesus is talking about here. You have to look within your heart and say, have I really forgiven this person? And if you're struggling with whether you have or not, then you're going to carry that around for the rest of your life, wondering if you're forgiven. You don't have to wonder if you're forgiven. This was Jesus talking to people who were under the law. And in fact, at one point, he said, a little bit earlier than this passage, he said, if you're going to do a sacrifice, you get the animal out, you got the altar out, and it occurs to you that you may be holding a grudge against somebody, go and be reconciled with that brother for your sacrifice to be valid. See, it was an old covenant conversation here, and I could keep going on about this, but I got to get Joel in here. But the nice thing about our podcast is we can kind of come at it from slightly different perspectives, different thoughts. So step in here, Joel, and help me out.
Yeah, I will maybe pick up on some of this next time because we're going a little long here, but it's okay. Like you say, we can just do what we do. But we can maybe focus on how, well, for one thing, it's very important, all that you just said, to contrast and to understand the contrast between the words that Jesus spoke that were Old Covenant words when he was ministering to Old Covenant people who were under that Old Covenant law versus the death of the testator, Jesus, when he died and the New Covenant came in and things changed. The Old Covenant the new covenant is not like the old covenant. Those words that Jesus spoke are not like the words that are of the new covenant. Same Jesus, same person, a different covenant. And so with this new covenant, God has, in his rich mercy, as Ephesians 2 says, because of the great love with which he loved us, when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ by grace. So maybe we'll pick up on some of that next week, right here on the Growing in Grace podcast.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.